Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. He said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?' They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, 'It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon.' Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread."
Good morning. Good morning to those on Zoom. It's great to be present at the baptism of Khalil today, and congratulations once again to him and his family and friends. As we continue thinking about the days following the events of Easter, Jesus' death and resurrection, we have today's story of the road to Emmaus. It takes place later on the same day of Jesus' resurrection, on the day we mark Easter Sunday. Some of Jesus' female followers have already seen the empty tomb early in the morning and encountered angels telling them that Jesus is raised from the dead. They've then told the other disciples. And in John's Gospel, we're told that Mary Magdalene has also spoken to the risen Jesus near the tomb. But even though Jesus had told his disciples he'd be put to death and then raised from the dead on the third day, they were having trouble understanding this. And I wonder how we would have reacted if someone told us Jesus had risen from the dead, but we hadn't seen the empty tomb ourselves, or had angels proclaiming it to us, or how we react today, hearing about Jesus when we've not met him in the flesh. What is it that draws people to Jesus and this story of resurrection all these years after the event? So that's the start of the day of our reading. And that same evening, we join two travelers walking from Jerusalem to, presumably, their home in Emmaus. Events are really fresh in their minds. They're trying to pick apart and understand what's going on and what's going to happen next. One of the travellers, we're told, is named Cleopas. And scholars have proposed that the other person may be his wife, also thought to be named Mary, and who may be one of the women mentioned in John's account of the crucifixion as being nearby, as well as being one of the women who went to the garden on the morning of Jesus' resurrection, and so would have seen the empty tomb. But what is clear is these two travellers are downcast, we're told, and in great confusion and distress at what's taken place in Jerusalem, and are looking for answers. Just like we are looking for answers to our deepest questions. As Jesus gets close to them while they're walking, we're told they were kept from recognizing him. And logically, to fail to recognize someone means they must have met him, seen him up close. And in an era where there would have been no photos of Jesus, his face wasn't on a coin or a stamp, not to recognize someone would presumably mean they would need to have met before. So why don't they recognize Jesus? Perhaps they just didn't recognize him, didn't expect to see him, even though he would have had wounds on his hands and feet from the nails, as well as on his side, although his side was possibly covered by his tunic. We know the wounds were on his raised from the dead body because the disciple Thomas would later ask to see them to be sure it really was Jesus. And we heard that account last week. We're also told that Cleopas and his companions stand still when Jesus asks them what's wrong, their faces downcast. Again, probably not even properly looking at this stranger, as they're so caught up in their own distress. It can be quite easy not to recognize someone, especially if we don't expect to see them. And even when we're not as distressed as those in this story. Only this week, I was walking in Manor House Gardens and a friend didn't recognize me straight away, simply because I was wearing sunglasses. And rather than coming alongside me, as in this story, he was walking straight towards me. And if we're seeking to follow Jesus, we can miss that the Holy Spirit is with us in all we're going through. The Spirit is with us daily as we move through life, as we grow up and grow older and grow old. But we don't always recognize this if we're focused on our worries and troubles and don't look clearly to see who is right here with us. Jesus tells us that he will never leave us. Soon after this story takes place, Jesus will tell his disciples, "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." But to be fair to these two, when we walk along next to someone, we can't, since we're walking, spend time looking at the other person's face, or wounds in this case, because we need to be looking where we're going. It is possible that the phrase, "they were kept from recognizing him," has some more divine element to it, as in, they were stopped from recognizing him straight away, so the events and further conversation could play out. But in the circumstances, seems very plausible that they just wouldn't have recognized him. As they walk along, Jesus explains how the Old Testament points towards its fulfillment in Jesus. By doing this, Jesus draws their attention and ours to the fact that this has been a plan in play for a long time. Jesus' death and resurrection weren't just random events. We may find in life that the timing and outcome of God's plans are perplexing to us. Sometimes they seem to match what we expect and yearn for. At other times, events play out so differently to what we expect, we might think that there's no plan. Sometimes after time has passed, we can see God's hand at work. But that's not always the case. Sometimes we can never fully understand why something has happened. Tom Wright makes the point that the two companions had thought that Jesus had come to save Israel by removing their suffering, whereas in fact he had come to save Israel through suffering. They were looking at the scriptures and recent events through the wrong end of the telescope. Jesus rebukes them in verse 25. How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? Jesus explains that there was no shortcut for what he did. The plan that he would die for us all was something that has no other workaround. It wasn't failure, his death on the cross. It was, in fact, victory. God is patient. His plans will succeed. Even these early disciples who were living through the momentous events around Jesus' crucifixion had serious trouble understanding all that was happening and why. So we shouldn't be troubled if we don't understand or can't immediately see what God is doing in our lives, the lives of those around us, or our world. God is working. The Holy Spirit is moving. We read in Jeremiah, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord." As the group approached Emmaus, Jesus is persuaded to stay with them and eat. They'd already been listening to him and wanted to know more, compelled by what he was saying, their hearts burning as he spoke and explained things. Suppose they hadn't asked Jesus to stay and eat with them. They'd only have understood partly. It would have been good what they'd heard if they'd just left it there and said their goodbyes. But there was still more for them to learn, more to encounter if they were willing. Are we willing to encounter more of the God who loves us? Or do we keep him at a distance? And if so, what is it that's holding us back? Jesus isn't pushy. He didn't force himself upon these traveling companions, and yet he gladly accepted their request to be with them longer. And he's the same with us, allowing us to choose to follow him, ready for us to seek time with him, to get to know more of him. He wants to bless us and be integral to our lives, not just on a Sunday. But he won't push us. As Christians, we have the Holy Spirit sent by God and present with us, even if we don't always see this clearly. The Spirit stays with us as we travel, as we journey through life, and teaches us if we're willing to listen. Ready to allow Jesus into your life for the first time, or if you have already, are you ready to allow more of Jesus into your life? Through the choice of words, the writer of today's passage evokes the Last Supper. Coming so close after his crucifixion. And then their eyes were opened and they knew it was Jesus with them. Once Jesus has taken the bread and given thanks for it, he does simply disappear, we're told. as in he decides to make a quick exit to avoid the washing up. He disappears before their very eyes. He has said what needs to be said. And these two followers are so rejuvenated, so revitalized, no longer downcast, they set off back to Jerusalem to tell the other disciples that Jesus is alive. Today's reading shows that just because Jesus had now risen from the dead, it didn't automatically become simple to be a follower. But it does show how it's natural to have questions and things we don't understand about what God is doing and how he's working. Our lives will still have ups and downs, joys, but God is patient and loving with us as we seek to follow him. The two travelers were deeply troubled by the circumstances they had found themselves in. They were in turmoil, seeking explanations, guidance. Jesus comes alongside them, walks with them, as he walks with us as we go through life. Feeling turmoil in our lives is not a sign that the Holy Spirit isn't with us, or that somehow we're not getting it right as Christians. Challenge, turmoil, difficulties, they're the normal features of life, but the Holy Spirit is with us through these. If we weren't to experience challenges, how would we ever grow? How would we ever learn? How would we become stronger? And as I finish, if you are feeling downcast, Psalm 34:19 tells us, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. And be encouraged by Jesus speaking in John's Gospel. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world.